Fine. So let's. This is a weird little Gemara, and I'm not even sure it's proper to call it a Nagadata, but on the other hand, I'm not sure what to call it at all. So in the top of Hayim and Aleph, in the middle of the discussion of Kasher V'Lo'ala, bringing Karbanot and them being valid but not fulfilling your obligation, the Gemara says that Rami Reish Lakish Oma'oi Bei Midrasha Umakshi. Reish Lakish lay down on his stomach in the Beit Midrash and said, Im ksherim hem yirtzu, if the karbanot are valid, then they should fulfill your obligation. Vim ein maratzin, and if they don't fulfill your obligation, lama bayin. Why are they come? And then the Gemara launches into the discussion. Amar la rei lazar, matzin van la charmita. We have other cases where you're yotze with a karban. Where the karban is brought even though you're not yotze, like a karban brought after death. And the Gemara goes back and forth, back and forth. So, those of you who are in shir, in my shir in the morning, we did this Gemara this week. But I said I bracket the question, so now I'm not bracketing it. Which is, what is going on? Why is the Gemara telling you that Reish Lakish is in the Beit Midrash, learning Zvachim, lying on his stomach? I mean, maybe it's true, but... So you just... He wasn't asleep. What? No, we're going to come back to that because I want to make sure to finish on time. This is a shorter one. We'll come back to it because I want to finish in time for Rabbi Dr. Siegel. I know normally I would do a two-parter in a row, but because we have that and then next week is a teal, I'm worried that I won't have time and then we'll end up... Yes, there's a teal next week. So I want to make sure that I have time. Okay? I'm sorry. I know it's out of order. In Melissa. So... What I want to do is simply analyze this, which is, again, I'm not sure if you would call it an agadata. It's clearly not a halachic moment in the middle of this halachic discussion, but it's purely agadic. I don't know. But I want to, what is the Gemara doing by telling us that Reish Lakish learned the sugya of Im Kasher, Im Ksherim Him Yirtzu, Im Ein Maratzin Lama Bayin, while lying on his stomach? So good, someone tell me. What is this doing?
Why does it make a difference?
Yeah, so one possibility is you learn nothing from this. I mean, I don't know. He was lying in his stomach. Why is it telling us that? I don't know, because he was lying in his stomach. Well, what do you want from my life? He was. I don't know. Now, sure, that's sort of weird. Yep, I really would love when I'm giving share that everyone just lie on the stomach. Forget their back. On their stomach, on the floor. What? Yeah, right. And in general, you're not supposed to lie in your stomach, correct? You're not supposed to lie directly in your stomach. You're not supposed to lie in your stomach, right? Because it can lead to physical stimulation, and that's problematic. What?
I thought it was cross-functional.
That too. What? No, it's not bowing. You're just lying. Yeah, but this is not. He's just lying down on his stomach. He's on a couch. I don't know. So, right, so is that what it's telling us? That Reish Lakish is just, I don't know, sleeping during Shir? You know, that would be like saying, this was what Moro said when sleeping during Shir. Not that you would ever sleep during Shir.
It's like the goddess, even when sleeping.
Even sleeping, right. It's like everyone's like, oh, I remember that time you were asked a question while you were asleep and you answered. That happened to me once. That happened to me once. I fell asleep in Shir. Look, when I was in Rambam, I've told you this story before. When I was in Rambam, Roy Friedman always told us that there are certain sugyot that are so important that you should know them. Even if someone woke you up in the middle of the night when you're sleeping, you should be able to answer. So he said, you should know the Nekuda Nifla of the Rambam so well that if someone would wake you up in the middle of the night, you would be able to say what it is and explain it. The Nekuda Nifla of the Rambam is the Rambam asks, there's a general rule of Ein Eser Chalal Eser, right, that one Isser doesn't take effect on another Isser, with three exceptions. Isser Mosif, Isser Kolom, Bam Barachat. If you add a dimension to the Isser, either by making it more chamor than it was, or by expanding the Isser to more people, or the two Isserim take effect at the same time, and therefore it's not proper to say one took effect on the other, so then both Isserim can take effect. So the Rambam asks, why is it that by Basar B'Chalav, that there's a distinct, that basar b'chalav is aser behana'ah, which means you're adding a dimension to the iser from non-kosher meat. And yet the halacha is that not kosher meat does not have the loss of halacha basar b'chalav. It's only kosher meat which can become meat and milk. Otherwise, it doesn't. If it's non-kosher, it can't become asur bahana. But by kudshim, if you take non-kosher meat and you make it kodesh, and then you would eat it, you would violate twice. One's for eating non-kosher, and one's for eating kodesh. So the Rambam asks, what's the difference? There's this rule that if you add a dimension, right, if you add a dimension to the isur, so then it should be added. And yet, in both cases, what's being added to the isur achila is the isur hana'a. And yet, by basar b'chalav, we say that you don't add the isur to it. And if it's not kosher meat, it can't become basar b'chalav, because according to the Rambam, it's an isur halal isur. Not all Rishonim agree to that, but that's the Rambam's position, that that's the rationale for it. But by kodesh, you don't. So the Rambam comes up with this lamdus, and he says, kodesh is fundamentally an isur hana'a. So it's really adding a new dimension. Basar b'chalav, even though it's an isur hana'a, it's not really. It's an expanded isur achila. So conceptually, it's an isur achila, which is just intensified into an isur hana'a, and therefore you're adding two similar dimensions to each other, which doesn't work. Right? So Ray Friedman always used to tell us, you should know the nikud nifla, even in your sleep. So then, at Chadayani Maskir Hayom, I sometimes fell asleep during shir, which is why I told you I don't hold it against you when I fall asleep in shir, because I didn't get much sleep. Because I was sleeping like 4 to 5 hours a day, so I would often fall asleep in shir and were many, many hours. So this once happened, I nodded off during shir in Rosenzweig's. Again, at Chadayim Maskera, whatever. But I was dozing off, and I don't know if he noticed this or he didn't notice it, but he called on me to probably maybe to wake me up, whatever. But he called on me and Jonathan, what is the Nekuda Nifla of the Rambam? And it was so ingrained that I like woke up and I was still in like a half daze. I just said the entire thing in the Parashat Mishnah with all the lamdas because I was taught in high school and took it seriously that you should know the Nekuda Nifla. Even if you're woken up in your sleep. What?
I guess you followed that to the letter.
So I did. So is that what's going on here? Back to why this was part of this Gemara, now whatever. Do we say that this was what was going on in... I mean, immediately I wasn't lying down. I was doing, you know, one of these, you know, the sitting up and just, you know what I'm talking about. Not like I wasn't trying, whatever. I was falling asleep like that, right? But you're saying, oh, it's just so great. Rosh Lakish's mom is lying down and still... He's so in the sugya that he's like, oh, I'm kasher about him. What? So it's possible. It's possible. But the majority of Mefarshim assume, like, if you're telling us this detail, there has to be something more going on. And even though this seems like in the middle of a halachic discussion, something is going on. So what I gave you here are four different approaches to this. So the first approach that I found is that the first possibility is that yes, this is just how he used to lie down and used to hang out, but it's not just Agav that was indicative of something about his life. Now, why would they think that this is something that he used to do all the time? So if you look at number one, the Gemara says, Puk ve'ata, it's talking about Reish Lakish, Yativ ka'achil v'shati, he was eating and drinking, Amrle brate, lo Boit midilam isgale, and his daughter said to him, don't you need something to lie down on it? Amarle biti crazy kari. And he said, oh, don't worry, my daughter. My stomach is my pillow. So as Tosfot notes from here, that number, he says, dark on Hailishkovel bitnam, bizvachem resh lakish rami amaoi umakse, right? That was, you see from this Gemara in Gittin, in conversation with the Gemara in Zvachim, that resh lakish used to always just hang out, lying down on his stomach. Okay, now we could just stop here and say, aha,
great. What an interesting guy.
Very interesting. But I found this nice little piece online by David Kochav, I've no idea who it is, who I think had, I found at least two people who said, no, he did do that, but this is an Agarata that's teaching you something about how to live life, or at least how Reish Lakish lived his life. So David Kochav writes, again, I have no idea who he is, Reish Lakish, but it was on dafyomi.com. Reish Lakish ayam makbid lakayim edivrei ha-mishnah v'sechad avot, perek vav, mishnah dalid. The Mishnah in Perek Avot says, kachi darkat shel Torah. This is the way of Torah. Pat b'melech tocha, v'mayim v'shur atishta, v'alar atishayin, v'chayitzar atichya, v'torah ata amel, im ata osik en ashrecha v'tov lach, ashrecha v'olam hazeh v'tovach v'olam abad. The Mishnah says, what is the way of Torah? You should have bread and salt, water in a small quantity. You should lie down on the floor. We're trying to figure out why Reish Lakish is said to learn Torah lying down on his stomach. That's what we're trying to figure out. Okay? And why in Gittin it also says that he calls it, his stomach is his pillow, which leads us to believe that this is his lifestyle. He always lies on his stomach. So Rabbi David Kochav says, well, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot tells you that you're supposed to eat a little bit of bread, you're supposed to eat a little bit of wine, live life of, sleep on the floor, live a life of pain, and focus only on Torah. So he says, okay, it's not that he's sleeping in his stomach, he's sleeping, kanireh, on the floor of the Beit Midrash. What? Exactly. And he says, and he says, if you build Rish Lakish's personality throughout Shas, you get, he wouldn't schmooze, as the Gemara in Yoma Daftet says, the man bishtar Rish Lakish ba'adei b'shuk, yavo le'iska below sahadei. Right, that if you find him in the shuk, you could give him business without witnesses, meaning like, everything he did was purposeful. Mesechet Brachot, Amru alav Rish Lakish, Shemeimav, in Brachot, it says that once Rabbi Yochanan said you should never fill your mouth with joy, right? Never laugh too much. So he never laughed again, right? He was a very serious person. He took things very seriously. The cave in Shekach, and therefore what it's telling you is, yeah, so he was resting during Shir. Okay, but af b'shan minuchato lo yanotish beit ha-midrash. Even when he was resting, he apparently, why was he doing? Not because he was falling asleep during shir, because that was where he was all the time. That's why he's lying down. He never went to sleep somewhere. He would catch catnaps in the middle of beit ha-midrash. So yeah, sometimes in the middle of shir, he'd be catching a catnap. Why? Because he never went to sleep. Right? He never went to sleep. I was one of my rebbeim was roommates with your current quasi employer at your internship, and he said they were roommates, but he never saw him ever because he never slept in the room. He slept cat naps in the Beit Midrash for the entire time he was in yeshiva, right? So he only came back to shower sometimes, but like he never slept in the bed. You know, there are people like that.
Is that a bad thing?
No, it's a bad thing. Right? So he says, and therefore, even these questions that came up in his like quasi-naps in the Beit Midrash are deep lumdish shailas in Zvachim. So you learn, so the Gemara is telling us this little detail to tell you a bit about Reish Lakish's personality. In the Daf HaAdaf, they quote the Or HaYashar, who says similarly. Says, he said, "Well, you could have said something simpler. Is he's fat? Kadamar Sham crazy kari, and that's why he could use his stomach as a pillow because he was grotesquely fat. You could have said that." He said, but that's what Tosaf is telling you not, because then Tosaf wouldn't have to tell you that was his derech. It would just be like, okay, it wasn't a shita. Right? He says, if that's the case, then why should the Gemara draw attention to it? Like, why is the Gemara telling you, oh, and Reish Lakish was fat? I mean, like, come on, this is weird. So he says, next paragraph, Lachain, Lule Devraim Ayanir Lafai Dati. Said you have other Gemara, right? Like the story of the Talmid Chachamim who asked us Shaila in the middle of the meat market. And what the Gemara, why is the Gemara giving you that detail? To tell you that even when they're at the meat market, they're talking in Torah. That's why it gives you that little tidbit. And he says, here as well, he's telling you, how great Reish Lakish was. He, in fact, was extremely fat or weak, and therefore was not capable of sitting normally in a chair or something. I don't know. Even though it wasn't so comfortable for him to be in the Midrash, because he was so big, he came to the Beit Midrash. And even if it meant him lying on the floor there on his stomach, he wasn't going to be like whiny yeshiva guys, I had a cold, so I didn't show up for 5 days. Right? The guy couldn't sit in a chair, and he was in the Beit Midrash every day. Get over yourselves. The Kiyim, Reish Lakish, Bazel, Adamar, Iyob, Gufe, B'Shabbat, so he is a fulfillment of the idea in Chazal that the Torah is only going to survive with people who kill themselves over the Torah. Shemar Zodat Torah, Adam Kiyam Yitpa, well, it's a drasha on the pasuk of Zot, right, by Paraduma, that these are the Torah of the one who dies in the all. Samich, what? Yeah, yeah, meaning in the sugya, the beginning of Paraduma. That the Gemara says you shouldn't hold yourself in the Midrash even for a moment. Right? So the first approach is to say, yeah, he happened to be lying down. It means exactly what it says, but it shows you something about his lifestyle. Either that he didn't go to sleep normally, he did cat naps in the Beit Midrash, so he's always there. So yeah, even in the middle of his cat naps, he's learning. Or it was hard from the Beit Midrash. He couldn't sit in a normal chair. He was big. He was whatever. So that's approach one, that it's showing you Reish Lakish's commitment to Torah. That's why it's here. Possibility one. Possibility two, symbolic. Is no. It can't mean what it says. I mean, come on. Really? You need to tell me that he's on his stomach? There's got to be symbolism here.
He's so annoyed with the question.
What?
He's so annoyed with the question that he's on his stomach.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, yeah, he was vomiting. He's like, I don't know. The Karen Ara and Rabbi Yosef Engel both give symbolic explanations. So the Karen Ara says, Rami Reish Lakish Amali, Umakshim Cherim, etc., etc., etc. So then he says, Yesh Lomar Ki Remez Bazenyu and Musari. There is an ethical lesson. Apima Shamru Chazal. The Gemara says, Patacha Katuv B'Mizbeach V'Siyem B'Shulchan. Right, the Gemara notes that the Psukim start with the Mizbeach and then discuss the Shulchan and the Beit HaMikdash. To teach you that Achshav Shulchano Shal Adam Mechaper Alav. To tell you that when there was a Beit HaMikdash, you got Kapara through the Mizbeach, and now how you eat and how you carry yourself at meals is a form of, provides Kapara like Mizbeach. This is a Gemara in Menachot. Vizek Shenemar Alav Davrei Torah, Ayin Shachid L'Lishmahi. Meaning, you learn Torah at your meals and you show that your eating is Lishma. Meaning you're eating for the right reasons, to further your avodah Hashem or something. O bechavana pshuta, kamur lechazeko chol avodah Hashem. Umisha chonein bedat yish kavana letov dugmana korban mamash. And people who have good intention, your food is like a korban. Kayadu ala maskil. Vachila kazo hi l'ratzon. And such eating would be accepted before God. Like we say, laso ritzoncha chafatzi k'shani ochel. Ach b'shvil laso ritzoncha v'taratcha betoch me'ai. And such an eating is like learning Torah, because it's for the sake of Avodah Hashem. But then you'll ask me, so he says, so now watch his symbolism. Eating can be a form of a karban. But then Reish Lakish says, this is the Karen Ara. He's normally very, like, the most straight shooter of anybody. He's just like, nothing weird. But this is a little bit weird, but I don't know what to tell you. When I was in Gush, someone asked Rav Lichtenstein, if you could choose a chavrusa with anybody in history, who would it be? And before he could answer, they said, we asked Rav Moshe, like his son, and Rav Moshe said the Karen Ora. And thought for a second, he said, look, that's actually a very good answer, because who you would want as a Rebbe is not the same person as you want as a chavrusa. Right, there are certain people I would really love as a Rebbe, but I couldn't keep up with them. Like, he's like the Ramban. He's like the Ramban, Reb Chaim. He's like, they're so smart. Like, I'd love to be in their shir, but I couldn't be a chavrusa. He's like, so he said the Karen Ora, though, he gets the feeling from the Karen Ora that nothing the Karen Ora says is like, you could never have thought of that. He said, the feeling in the Karen Ora is that every line is the type of thing that if you had 15 hours on a sugya, you could have come up with. Like, it's just very straight thinking. It's very clear. It's very, you know, it's very methodical. And he's like, so the Karen Ora is a very good chavrusa, right? It's not wild chidushim. It's just a very careful analysis of the sugya, the type of thing that your average intelligent person can come up with if they put in a tremendous amount of effort. So Karen Ora is, that's really the feeling you get in the Karen. Like, very, just everything is just well thought out, well analyzed, nothing crazy, nothing wild. This is a little bit whatever. It's interesting. What do you mean, two names?
Who's the Karen Ora?
No, is this commentary?
People.
The Karen Ora is this commentary. I'm reading.
Saying the Reish Lakish is always very straight.
No. The Karen Ora. No. Oh, sorry. So he's saying Reish Lakish made sure that everything he ate was for God, which means Al Derech Mashal is like a karban. So then Rish Lakish asks, but then he said, okay, that works for the times that I eat that I have in mind for Hashem. But what about when I have eat shalom lishma? Matei alav. And then he says, im ein miratzin, if they're not going to be like a carbon, lama im boim, then why do you bother eating? Maybe they would be puzzle and they would be sinful. No, he says, as long as Motzes Vatecha Tishmor, remember that's the pasuk that Kasher Velo Allah? So as long as you watch your mouth and you say a bracha, so you didn't get a mitzvah, but it's not possible. As Ein Ben Ritzui, they may not be a mitzvah, but they're not possible. Im Ein Mashem Achshav Et Pigul, as long as you don't have an invalidating thought of lemalot nafsho b'ta'ava, that you're not eating just to be a glutton, hachu'ura b'ta'ava, maybe to be like an animal, valzeh ramaz rami reish lakish almo ohi. And that's what it means. He was saying about his stomach. He was giving a symbolic explanation about his stomach. If you eat lishma, it's a mitzvah. If you eat negative, it's pigle. But if you eat neutral, but you make a bracha, it's kosher below Allah. It's not an avira, it's nishta mitzvah. Stama would be kosher below Allah. Or maybe yotzeh. You're right. If you come up, we could build it farther. That if you have an attitude that everything's like shamayim, then even if you don't think about it,
is Kavanah.
Right, if he has Kavanah Pshuta, maybe that's Stoma. Meaning, I normally work the Shem Hashem. Maybe that's what it means. But it could be what it means. So that is symbolic explanation number one. Rabbi Yosef Engel, in number six, is quoted as follows in his commentary in the Rishim and Yerushalmi, says, and Evan, I think, sort of said this as a joke. He said the Beit HaMikdash, but Rabbi Yosef Engel says, no, it's not the Beit HaMikdash. He's not prostrating the Beit HaMikdash. He came up with his lamdas during Tachanun. And he says, Yesh lomar ha-perush ha-nofel az-benefil ha-rapayim. V'hik shodacham v'shanefil ha-payim shalo. And while he was saying Tachanun, they started learning, da-da-da-da. And he proves in the Yerushalmi, we call it Almei Ayim. Now that's just, okay, fine. But then he quotes the Minchad Yitzchak, who says, Mikol Malkom Tzarech Lavin. Okay, great. So he's saying Tachron. Lama lana haskir zo peshas. So what? V'yesh lefarej adara katuv, v'asot ritzoncha elokai chafatzi v'tarcha betoch me'ay. The Pasuk in Tehillim says that the Torah is in your stomach. V'kata barachayim. The Archayim says, v'omro v'tarcha betoch me'ay. We say that your Torah is in your stomach. Perish l'rov cheshek avodat hakodesh, because of your desire to serve God, Hashem margish bilimudo Torah Hashem, until you feel the learning. Ki ilu ochel, it's as if you're eating it umamali b'nei me'av mazon tivi. It's as if you're satiated from the Torah. V'ol dar mashir unkles v'yachzor elokim v'yochlu v'yashtu, and that's why unkles on the Mishpatim by Har Sinai, it says they saw God v'yochlu v'yashtu. Their karbanot were accepted, and they were as happy as if they ate and drank. And therefore, he's saying, what is Rami Al-Ma'oi B'Midrasha? She'am margish Torah Hashem B'Midrasha. He felt it, kilo mali b'nei me'on b'mazon tivi. On his stomach means he felt the Torah filling him up like food. Sure. Sure, you could do that. You could do that. That's fine with me.
That would mean he would be dumb.
I don't know. He was dumb. He had a lot of kavanah. I don't know what you mean. Okay, now one more symbolic one. If you turn to the end, I just for formatting purposes, I moved it to the end. In the Or Torah of the Hagon Me'astruvtsa. Yep, it's my first, the back. It was a PDF, so I just put it at the end just for formatting. This is a drasha we're in Toldot now, next week's parasha. Vayikach, maybe I should have done next week, but no. Vayikach me'avnei ha-makom, vayasim rashotav. So Yaakov Avinu puts the rocks by his head. Remember that? Okay, good. Perish Rashi, and Rashi says, That he put it there because he was scared, and the rocks were fighting, and they became one rock. You know that midrash, right? Nearly the kol zesh Yaakov beit aver vasek b'torah lo beit sarach laharim arosh al yeter averim the chalaguf ayosek b'torah. It's that symbolic that when he learned Torah in yeshiva shem be'aver, he didn't have to pick up his head over the other averim because his whole body was involved in Torah of avodat borei yitbarach or something like that. K'mashe kadav kol atzmonei tomar tamicha mocha v'maaseh v'machshava hayu shavim b'avodat Hashem yitbarach. So his mind and his actions were united in serving God. Amnam ke'eitz alach l'lavan lasok b'tzarche olam hazeh lisa isha v'lishmor tzon lavan b'avodat gashmiut. But then when he went to Lavan's gevald, he was involved in physicality. Gevald. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says in Bracho that Omer Efshar Adam Chorish B'Shach Charisha V'Chulei Mutara Mateela. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, well, if you work, when are you ever going to learn? Ay, ay, ay. So nearly, a Kavanah was saying, Dadua Deguv Adam Nikra Basar Adam, Ve'etzem, Shem Adam Yikra Seichel, Uneshama Shel Adam. Right? So he says, the body of man is the Basar. And the bones are the seichel. What Rav Shimon Yochai wants you to do is learn Torah. His work, but only with your body. Right, but your mind will be connected to God. Okay, and that's what he means. The Torah ma teheilav. Okay, fine. What? So he says, if you skip down. So how does he read this? He says that when Yaakov Avinu halach lasok b'tzarchei olam hazeh lakach me'amnei makom v'yazam tachem rashodav. Then he went to be involved in the work. So he put rocks under his head. Haremes shehirim arosh l'malom eivarav. The symbolism is he took the rocks, the Torah, above his head. V'himlich arosh eivarim, and made it clear that his head, what's going on in his mind, is king. Okay? And that's what it means, that the rocks were fighting with each other, meaning that his whole body wanted to contribute to Talmud Torah. Okay? That's how he's reading it. Very nice part. What does that have to do with us? So skip all the way down now to the next ode. You see the next paragraph on the second column? Valpize yeshlomor mashakot bizvachim. Now we can understand zvachim davhei. That Rami Reish Lakish al Ma'ohi Ben Midrasha. What does it mean that Reish Lakish was learning and was on his stomach to Ben Midrash? Umakshim Cherimim Yirtu. Vimiratzin Lama Boyin Akavana Bazeh. To be Eicha Reish Lakish Ben Midrash. When he was in the Ben Midrash of Asak Betara, Lohave Larosh Mala Laguf. His head had no advantage over his body. Ki kol ha'ivarim hayu asukim betara. Because his whole body was literally involved in Torah. But when he's not in the Beit HaMidrash, if he doesn't actively lift up the world of the mind over the body, then, back to our zvachim, you'd be shechting it, shelo l'shem chova, right? Meaning what? So now he also goes back to that patach mizbech, v'sim b'shulchan, meaning, as we said before, that when there's a Beit HaMikdash, you get kapar the mizbech, and not you get it through the shulchan, meaning that you have to eat l'shem shamayim, right? L'shem shamayim, and therefore, just like the Karen Ora, he says, skipping on the last line, Ratzalom, im kshirim im yirtu devi mitzvah, v'im meratzen lo im boim, hech yikra rishut v'kosher, asher padu v'bitchal v'nafshei, hain yedavar nedru, im kain, kamash nadar ta'asita yin nedru v'im lo nedavi hei, de gil dadar dim osa adavar kitikuno, hu b'mala gdola l'chapara, v'im lava koman im nedava v'dav rishut. What he was saying is, look, if you manage to make everything you're doing l'shem shamayim, then it's a karba. If not, but you don't do it for negative, it's still nidavatehe. It's still okay.
stomach.
It's it's less than stomach. It's fine. It's an nidava. It's kosher. It's kosher v'lo Allah. Right. So again, what it's saying is the ideal is to turn your eating into a karban, and if not, kosher v'lo Allah. Okay. So the second derech here is symbolism. Right. That what does it mean? It's on the stomach, which is two versions of you have to eat l'shem shamayim, and if not, okay, it works, but it's not the best, right? And the third is that you have to be satisfied with Torah as if it was a good meal, or maybe as Morrow said, that you have to imbibe the Torah, or something like that, like the Rambam, okay? So that's possibility two. So possibility one was he literally was lying on his stomach, but it teaches you something about his lifestyle. Either that he came to the Beit Midrash, even though it was hard because he was too fat, or he never slept in his bed. He always slept in the Beit Midrash. Or he was saying Tachanun, I don't know how to do that. Or it's symbolic, right? That Torah has to be something you consume, or that your eating has to be a karban. And he was talking about the way you relate to physical pleasure, possibility two. Okay? Now, two more drachim, Yavin.
They said Tachanun on the stomach background.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. Exactly. Possibility three that I found was that this is teaching you something, guys, possibly three is that this is teaching you something unique about Reish Lakish. About Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish is unique. What do we know about Reish Lakish? What was he before he became Reish Lakish? A thief, the king of thieves. So if you look at number seven, exactly. So the Sefer Shalom Rav from the Sefer Tzemach David from the Admor of Dinav, the son of the Bnei Yisachar. Okay. He says, the Adua Shabaotu Ever Shadam Chote, Bo Tzarach L'Takein Et Atzmo. The limb that you sin with, you must. What? You must do tshuva with. You must fix. And we know he was the king of thieves. The Rashi b'chumish peirush vayikra hevi midrash l'chein zarkan ma'am shala of neishen nene me'agezo. And the midrash says the reason that you throw out the innards of a bird is because birds steal and they eat stolen food, and therefore their stomach benefited from theft, and therefore it's pasul. So he says, aha, the symbol of stealing. Food that doesn't belong to them. You ever had pigeons? They are the worst. It's the worst. They're the rats of the sky. I mean, that's technically bats, but seagulls too. Fine. Okay. So he says, "Valkain rutzer rizlagish the takenish shar chamaz v'gazam acherim v'chein al yidin yusiku b'der b'shocho may have tikin b'zaged l'shur b'mayayim." So he said, if the symbol of stealing is your stomach, because you consume stolen things, so he dafka would learn Torah on his stomach to fix his stealing, which was an expression of gluttony, yes. So this is also something symbolic or something like that, but it's not symbolic in general. It's something about Reish Lakish's particular journey, not something you could learn from, right? The difference between this and the first possibility was that those were things you could learn from, right? About not going to sleep at home, go to sleep in the Beit Midrash. Correct. You learn about his reversal. Like you learn, but being according to the first one, it means Reish Lakish slept in the Beit Midrash, which you could in theory do yourself. Or Reish Lakish came to the Beit Midrash even if it was uncomfortable. Right? No. That you could do. This one's a little bit different, which is Reish Lakish's sin was symbolized by his stomach, and therefore his tikkun had to be through his stomach, and you need to find what you do. Correct. So like, if you are somebody who listens to inappropriate music, then you should listen to a lot of shirim. And if you're someone who looks at inappropriate things, then you should read a lot of svarim. I don't know, right? Come up with something, right? And if you're someone who does averit with your hands, then you should learn to be a shochet and you should tie tzitzit. And, correct. And if you are, whatever, mashi, yeah, right? Come up with everyone. If you do sins with your shoulders, then you should, you know, schlep things the same mitzvah. I don't know. Come up with everyone. What? What? No, what would you say?
Wait, you think you can think of combination?
I feel like I'm gonna either like or really not like what you're about to say. Okay, fine, Bob.
You think of
sure.
His repentance was eating food.
You could do that too. Sure. Okay. So the last Derek. So that's Derek 1, 2, and 3. And now, Graber, this is for you. Graber, this is for you. Obviously, I know that what you wanted was a nice, long, mystical approach. Because I know that's what you were waiting for. The fourth one is a nice, long, mystical approach. Okay. So in the Agra de Pirko, he writes as follows. Yes, exactly. Okay? And he says, fine. Look at the next paragraph. To understand this, you must understand Gilgulim. What is Gilgulim, Graber? Reincarnation. Very good. The Adam be'achreach mechuyav lekayem kol ha-mitzvot. At some point in your soul's eternal history, it must fulfill all the mitzvot. V'im yechaser lo achat mehena, muchrach litgalgel lekayem mitzvah chaser minyano. And if not, you got to come back in Gilgul. This is long. Let me read it for you. I did this for you, Graber, just for you. Yes, right. That's right. It says, when you come back to this world, so you're stuck in this thing. You came back because you have to, you never built a sukkah. You did the other mitzvot, but you didn't do that. But you're still, while you're alive, in kvar, you have to do all the other mitzvot. The body that managed to fulfill all 613 mitzvot will be complete when Tchid HaMeitim comes. Uvo tiyeh midurat ha-nishama la'atid. And that's where the soul will live forever. Va'gufot shel gulgulim ha-rishonim shel ushlim ha-chukam. But the soul, the bodies of the souls that weren't complete, right? So you went through 78 gilgulim. So the first 77 mate aleihem, what's going to happen? Then only the 78th, which you managed to fulfill all the mitzvot by that point. Good. Hinei chas v'shalom lomar asher chas v'shalom mashav nityagu v'tar mitzvot. What is it? There's no point that they did mitzvah. They did the other 612. Poor bodies. The poor bodies. What are they going to do? Rav aval bichein ta'ir lehem orot koach ha-nefesh asher nidazgu b'mitzvah asher shuv kayim oto b'guf acharon. They will also come back in a certain way with the koach of the mitzvah they did do. Hinei or not come back, but they will be enlightened. Right? Not come back. They will be enlightened. Don't know. I don't know. I don't know. No idea. Hine ha-mitzvot ha-rishonot b'gilgulem heim motarei nidava. That means the mitzvot and the earlier ones are like extra karbonot. They're not the primary, but they have like some status. V'acher ha-guvot ha-rishonot dilem le-nefesh. V'hine yishul remez la-mishma. Where do we see this? In our Mishnah. Kol ha-zvachem shenizmu l'sholo l'shman k'sherim. Any karbon that's brought l'sholo l'shma is kosher. Ratzal omar. When the soul leaves the body, but the mitzvot is still around, mitzvot and it did a lot of mitzvot, but it was shechted shelo lishma. The reason this body had to die was not for this body, it was so that the soul could be reborn into another body. But the first bodies are still kosher because they did some mitzvot. But they didn't fulfill your obligation, your soul's obligation in the Gilgulim. Kigam shaguf rishon kim kama v'kama mitzvot. Even though the first Gilgul did a lot of mitzvot, imko zed lo alu lebailim l'shem chova. It didn't fulfill your obligation. Lo mar kevin shikfar kiyem mitzvot tzitzit. Shuv lo yitzarach laim v'gil achron. Because technically you don't have to do tzitzit again in the next Gilgul. Rak tzarach l'achron kama v'gil v'achron b'vo'am liyado. But you still need to do it again because your first body, Kila Rishonim, lo alu l'shem chova, weren't yoytzei zayin. Wait, shh. Let me finish first because I need to read through this and make sure I understand the words that I'm saying. Then you can ask questions because v'zeh shehikshed reishim milakeshim k'sherim mitzvah rishon yirtzu. So now what he asks is, Are the first mitzvah, this is clearly the part you wanted to hear, are the mitzvah that you did in your first body, are they meratzeh? So do you not have to keep the mitzvah in your last body because I already perfected my soul's cue of Shofar in Body 72, so why should Body 78 have to blow Shofar? V'mein miratzin, but if they're not, lama boin. What, did I do it for no reason? Body 72 was worthless. Ma pitam. Lying in his stomach, looking in the ground. So he's looking down saying, well, when I die and return to dust, and my soul goes into another body, El Amor is like, Eftach ana pitchal lenafshoi. Let me explain it. Bedin hazeh, Eftach petach lenafshi. Let me literally give an opening to myself. La'ir lenafshi li'o nevesh mirak em gufot. Shlo'i shlimu chukam. Let my soul enlighten the other bodies that didn't finish their job. Ki aval bichein timu mitzvot umaisim tovim. They still did some mitzvot. Hagam shemin atzorach lachzor l'kaim b'gil achron. Even though I need to come back and do it again in my last Gilgal, but my earlier bodies are still, God accepts them like a voluntary offering. So if you kept your neder, then your body is done, because you fulfilled your neder. If you didn't, at least they're a nedava. To grant light to your earlier bodies, even though your soul's final journey will be the last body. What?
I don't think anyone is keeping track
of what?
This is nuts.
Okay, so to summarize, if I understood this correctly, the mystical metaphorical explanation was that Rish Lakish is looking in the ground and wondering, well, my final body with which I will perfect all the mitzvah, that I understand, that body will be used as a vessel, that is the neder. No, but what about the earlier ones? They're not ole. I'm not yotzik. They didn't do all the mitzvot. So lamahin bayim. For what value do they have? Oh, they're still valuable. They're kosher below Allah. The mitzvah they did gives them some spiritual light. I will, at this point now, plead ignorance. I have no idea what I just said. I mean, I know what I said. I don't know what I said. What? He was looking at the ground, at the dirt on the earth. He was lying down looking at death and saying, what is the purpose of all those other bodies of mine that died? If only this vessel is perfected, it will be Tchiram Eitim. So the other ones kept all the mitzvot, but they weren't perfected. Yes, so kosher
all.
No, it still has to keep all the mitzvot.
No, but it didn't. So we said all the other ones.
No, it did. It's just that it has to just because it's alive, but it didn't for the soul.
No, but it didn't fulfill all the mitzvot.
How do you know? Maybe it did.
If it filled woman, Cohen, and
I don't know. You're asking too many kashas. I don't understand. I don't know what to tell you. Okay, I don't know. So. What, I wasn't going to share this with you? What, I was going to hide this from you? No, I want to, look, as I've said, the Agadah Tashir, I want you to understand different methodologies, different ways of thinking. So again, we've seen four approaches here. One is, Reish Lakish is actually lying on his stomach, and this shows us something about Reish Lakish.
Or not.
Right? Either it teaches nothing, fine, or it shows us something that he slept in the Beit Midrash because he was so committed he didn't sleep in his room, or he was very heavy and therefore he had to be on his stomach, and nevertheless he showed up in the Beit Midrash because he wasn't whiny like Sean Olive guys who, I have a cold, I'm not going to be there for 3 weeks, and whatever. Blah, 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 blah. Right? What? Yeah, whatever. I'm not saying this has ever happened. I've never seen such a thing. No, it's never happened. Right? That was possibility one. Possibility two was symbolic. We saw two versions of the symbolism, which were building on the notion that the way you eat and the kavana you have is like a karban. So if you have positive kavana, it's like a karban. If not, it's not puzzle, as long as you don't have invalidating thoughts. That was the Karen Ora and the Minchat and the Or Torah of the Gaon from Ostrovtsa. The Minchat Yitzchak here had a different one, which is that you should love the Torah. It should be, you should consume it, or as Moro said, you should like imbibe the chachma as if you were eating it, right? Achila can be like understanding. I'll be done in 2 minutes. 2 minutes. How you doing? So that's Perish 2. Perish 3 was that it's unique to his life, that since stealing is symbolized by a misuse of the appetitive desires, so therefore he had to fix it by specifically focusing on his the stomach driven the pit of desires. And then admittedly, there was the mystical approach, which, do I understand it? No. But do I admit, do I have to at least show you that, yes, whenever you see a weird agadata like this, and you start seeing people looking for symbolism, some of them are going to be symbolism you might understand. Like, I understood the Karen Ora. And some of them are going to be mystical, like the Zagreb de Perica, where, well, I don't quite understand it, but I mean, I get it. I don't get it, but I get it. I think I get it. I don't really know that. But again, it's not fundamentally methodologically different from saying it's symbolism. It's just that the symbolism for him is much fancier, which is that each body perfects whatever mitzvah it did, and then only the final body that perfects the final mitzvah is the vessel for your final Gilgul, and the rest of them, Rish Lakish, looked at the ground and said, why were they born? Answer, because their light is still kasher v'lo ala. It's, again, I admit that I don't fully understand those words. I get it. I understand. What? I don't know. Okay, look. I'm going to put this very simply. As I said to someone, okay, when I finished Midrash at the beginning of the year, after my years through Midrash, so I was talking to my Chavrus, and I'm like, well, what am I going to do next? Right? The last 5 years have been, I learned Yerushalmi, I learned Tosef, I learned Masechet, and I learned all of Midrash Halacha, and Midrash Agadata. Like, what am I going to do next? And he's like, Kabbalah. And I said, I'm not 40. And I'm not 40. I have an excuse. And he's like, I waive it for you. I'm like, no, it's okay. I think I'll do all of Tur and Beit Yosef Bach, what did you do first? This way I can say, I learned it first. And it'll give me an excuse to push that off for, 5 years. So I'm not 40. I don't understand Kabbalah yet. I have not been enlightened with it.
Audiobook?
What?
You're asking for audiobook recommendations?
No, no, I'm actually going through Tur. That's what I'm doing right now.
I know. So, on audio?
No.
So that's what I said. You're asking for audiobook recommendations. I got one for you.
I have audiobooks. I do want audiobooks, but that has nothing to do with this. Anyways, that was the approaches. We'll come back to Big Day Kahuna, which I understand a lot better than the words that I just read to you. Not next Thursday because of the Masada trip, but the Thursday after that. Okay?